This pandemic has, in all of its implications, socially and economically, has brought through out some weaknesses in myself, some weaknesses in my character, some weaknesses in my faith, some weaknesses in the way I relate to my wife and family, the way I relate to my friends, to fellow Christians, the way I relate to the church. Now, I thought before all this started back in March that I was pretty good on those scores. I thought I had a pretty good scorecard on that. I thought I was doing pretty well. But there's something about a lockdown and the threat of economic deprivation and social deprivation especially. It really brings things out in my character, and it exposes some of the entrenched attitudes and entrenched fears and things that have just been clinging to my soul. And these are all weaknesses. There are weaknesses that I've had to look at and look at hard in the last several months. Now, at first, I felt a little guilty at first, and rightly so. I mean, there were some things that I needed to shore up. But I did want to go to shame. I didn't want to go to condemnation. But I'm aware of the fact. On the other hand, I felt great consolation in the fact of realizing that God always calls weak people. God is not looking for strong people. God is looking for those who will rely upon Him. In fact, I would say that God is calling those who are willing to confess their weaknesses, not parade their strengths, not parade their virtue. There's nothing impressive to God about somebody who parades their righteousness, their virtue, their strengths, their ability to, if you will, get along without Him and impress Him. That would be the way of the Pharisee, wouldn't it? And so it's important to draw some consolation today from the fact that, yes, we are all experiencing some weaknesses. I've seen it in myself, and I've seen it in my close friends and family members, and they've admitted it. But there's these weaknesses that are also being turned to strengths by God. God is using this time, this crisis, this extraordinary time that we are in, both as a society and as a church, to bring out His glory, to bring out the fact that He uses extraordinary times to do extraordinary things in people. I found great consolation recently in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 through 34. And I want to share that with you. This is the faith chapter where he's extolling the virtues of those who live by faith. And he points out, too, that this faith, is not only is it a gift, but it's something that works its way out in people's lives. For instance, he says in verse 32, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." Now, that's quite a list. But the central point I want to make here today is that God turned their weaknesses into strengths. God turned their weaknesses into strengths. Out of weakness were made strong. Faith turn their weaknesses into strengths. So this is one of the proper applications of faith, is that we trust God. Let me say it this way. Reliance, self-reliance, is no virtue in the kingdom of God. Self-reliance is no virtue in the kingdom of God. God-reliance is what God is calling us to. And no matter what our weaknesses, no matter what our failings, no matter what our faults, God can use these things then to show His glory by turning them into strengths. Now, for instance, I had discovered that I had a bout of generational fear. I mean, I came from a long line of people who were alcoholic, and fear is just kind of goes with that disease. And so irrational fear, crazy fear, crazy-making fear, and all that goes with it within a family. But that becomes entrenched. It becomes generational. It becomes a norm. It becomes normative to a family, and oftentimes runs down through the generations. And even if you're converted, even if you're a person that's now filled with the Holy Spirit and walking with Christ, that still lingers. And so I'm learning throughout this pandemic that that's a weakness for me. I still listen to fear. I still give voice to fear, irrational fear, fear that has no basis in reality whatsoever except in between my ears. And so I'm excited about the fact that God is delivering me from that. I look back and I can see how it's affected my family. It's affected my friendships. It's affected my ministry. And now God is delivering me from that. Now, I'm excited, but I'm also very humbled. Very humbled because I recognize I can't do it. I see it now. I see that entrenched fear. It shows up and has anxiety in my body at times. But I can't be free of it just because I see it. I have to plead with God to deliver me from it. And it's really, in the final analysis, it's really a deliverance from that old entrenched self-reliance. That notion that, yes, God is always with me, God protects me, God provides. But there's kind of a reservation somewhere in my mind and soul that what if he doesn't? Then I'm going to ultimately have to take care of myself. I'm going to ultimately have to rely on self. So I better keep a little bucket of self-reliance just in case. Well, that little bucket grows and becomes more and more. And if I'm not careful, all I've got then is an intellectualized faith. I've got a faith that I profess one thing and I'm actually living another. So this is a time for me to grow out of that weakness, to grow out of any vestiges of self-reliance and move into a greater reliance upon the power of God in my life, upon the love of God in my life, His protection, His provision. Now that is not easy. This is not Victory Chapel here. This is not some kind of rah-rah session. It's a grind. You have to be willing to face that fear. You have to be willing to walk through it. And you can't do it alone. You need faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, faithful friends who will listen to you, will understand you. They won't judge you. They won't be superficial, encourage you to get a better golf game or something or do something silly. They will actually encourage you that this is a powerful time in your life. They recognize it. They'll stand with you. They'll pray with you. They'll pray for you as you face those fears, as you face those weaknesses, and help you walk through them. Now, this is a principle that Paul dealt with, and of course, in 2 Corinthians, I think it was. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 12, in which he talked about the fact that he had been given a thorn in the flesh, you might remember. It was given to him as a messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest he be exalted above measure. And he says in verse 8, chapter 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, this is not about self-help. This is not about bucking up and overcoming your weaknesses. No, this is about learning to rely on the power of Christ. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We see the power of God most clearly in our weaknesses. But we have to be willing to see them. We have to be willing to come to grips with them. We have to be willing to get honest about them. Now, that is a tall order in the church sometimes. There's a lot of errors. There's a lot of appearances that try to get maintained within the church. And there's so much superficiality in the relationships at times too. So it takes some doing to find a brother or sisters that who are willing to listen to you and even share their own weaknesses, and people you can connect with on that level, and people who will stand with you. You know, there's a mighty power at work in our lives. Now unto him who is able to do it far exceedingly above all we can think, say, or do, it says in Ephesians. That's a paraphrase, by the way. But you get the point. God is able to do far and beyond above all we can think or do or say or imagine. He is at work in our lives in ways that we can't ever imagine. Beautifully work in our life. And some of you may have touched down in despair the last several months. Some of you may have been depressed. Some of you might have had a real strong bouts with anxiety. Some of you might have been sick. These are times that we don't want to take lightly. These are events that we don't want to brush away, or, as I said earlier, try to create some kind of triumphalism. But we do want to understand that God is at work, and that weaknesses are not something we need to be ashamed of. They are something we need to look at and embrace, and then plead with the Lord to use His grace, by His grace, by His power, to turn those weaknesses into strengths. So don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of your faults. If you stumbled, if you found yourself saying, doing some things that you probably would not have done in less of a crisis atmosphere. But take note, and that God is at work in your life, and it is very humbling. Now I'm not there yet. I have not arrived. But I am working towards it, and I am confident that God is working in my life. I covet your prayers as well. I've never met any of you, most likely. I've met some of you, perhaps, if you're my friends or church members who are listening to this. But I do want to encourage you to, whether you be a friend or family member or a church member, I've never met you, to pray for me. I will be praying for you, though I don't know you. I care about you. And we are all in this together. We can't do it alone. Somebody said recently, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. And I said, well, I can tell you right now, you won't. And I won't either. But we can, together. Together. If we get honest and open and connect with each other, we can get through this. Because we have a God who's able, and that's at work, to make us get through it. To increase our strength. So that we have His strength working in our lives. Well, I don't want to start babbling, so that's enough for me today. I hope this has been of some help to you. Don't be ashamed of your weaknesses. Embrace them. Bring them to Christ. Trust in His power. Repent of your self-reliance. And grow in reliance to Him. Amen.